Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim.
Mark, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
We do, and I want to also point out that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I give and provide financial advice, and my website is educational, and it's for educational purposes, and it's VR, Victor Robert, VRTrader.com, doing it for about 43 years, and we do have a special for those who'd like to take 50% off of any subscription. We made some pretty good calls here on the market recently, so you might want to pay attention to it. The promo code is 2022HALFOFF, and that applies to any of the products, and you insert that in the promo code section of the order form, 2022HALFOFF at VRTrader.com.
The Fed hiked interest rates 0.5% on Wednesday. The markets went up, but then on Thursday, the stock markets made a significant correction. What's the story there, Mark?
Well, bottom line is my feeling is that the rally we saw on Wednesday was what I call, and many call, a dead cat bounce. I mean, basically, in my opinion, we're in a bear market. And, you know, there was a little discussion at the end of Chairman Powell's presentation after, you know, later in the day on Wednesday. And he hinted or suggested, and I would, you know, I don't have a recording of his statements, but, you know, we're not going to do 0.75 type hikes, we're going to do 0.50, and then a rally started, and then I guess a lot of people were short, and there was a short squeeze, and the market rallied 900, almost actually got up to about 1,000 points intraday, so we went short as soon as that happened, by the way, meaning we bought, we mentioned in our newsletter that inverse ETFs would be a place to go, and sure enough, the market turned south today as, you know, we anticipated, not necessarily dropping the same 1,000. But yeah, that's pretty much what happened. So, you know, we're in a negative environment. The model is negative. Remember, sell may go away. So we're in a negative time frame. You know, some say this is the worst 6 month period of the year. Not every year is perfect. It doesn't always work 100%. But between now and September, October, markets tend to do worse than better. And we have a lot of things going on out there. You know, shortages. Interest rates ticking up a little bit, which I'm not that much concerned about, but if Powell wants to go crazy, you know, the way Volcker did back in the 1970s, then we're really in trouble because Volcker really went nuts and we drove rates up to, what, 15%. I remember buying a house back then. I had to pay 11% and I thought I was doing a great job negotiating with the seller. So if they're really, you know, they're really flipped out here thinking that the solution to our problems is higher interest rates, and they could go really crazy, which is not so great. And of course, you know, I pretty much stand by the belief, and I write about this in the newsletter all the time, you know, the Federal Reserve should be abolished. You know, I'm probably the only one out there publicly saying it, just that people would laugh. It's like saying close the U.S. government, but it's really a bad institution. It's behind the times. It's caused more damage than benefit. Even Bernanke, in a presentation, the former Fed chairman, I think back in 2008 or 9, somewhere back there, he admitted that the Federal Reserve's actions during the Great Depression helped encourage the Great Depression to be worse than it would have been. I think they raised rates back then during the Great Depression. So he says, yes, we did it. We're responsible. He actually admitted that in a statement. You know, the Fed has to go. I mean, that's the bottom line. And when will that realization come? And, you know, I'm just a lone voice out there ranting. I think, you know, a couple senators and congressmen have talked about this in the past. Bad institution, snuck in back in 1913. The value of the dollars dropped like 97% or something since it's been created. They made bad decisions, look like Greenspan, where he was, you know, he was partially instrumental for the cause of the 1987 market crash. Step on the brake, step on the accelerator, back and forth, a lot of nonsense. But the real problem, Jim, is I don't think the interest rates. I think it's the war that's brewing in Europe, and we can have a long discussion about that subject.
Now, a friend of the show, Bob Hoy, would agree with you. The Fed has been useless. They said when it was invented on the best name I've ever heard for an island where nefarious things happen, Jekyll Island, there's been 18 recessions. And the Fed said, we're here to stop recessions and depressions. We've had 18 official ones and probably a couple of unofficial ones. So they don't seem to be doing their jobs. And I heard the Fed head talking on Wednesday saying, with this rampant inflation right now, we can't do anything about supplies, but we can dampen demand by hiking interest rates. Well, that probably means you will cause a recession and job losses and factories to close and so on. So the cure apparently is worse than the disease.
Correct. And I mean, part of their supposed goal is to provide full employment. And, of course, they do a lot of nefarious other stuff, too. I mentioned this in previous interviews. People don't really talk about it. You know, the other games they play, you know, they're in the market buying stocks, buying bonds of private companies. You know, they talk about, you know, pulling back the money supply and raising rates. But they do a lot of, again, these very curious, surreptitious actions. I know dozens of examples. I have them written down somewhere. But I remember it was back 2007-8. They were buying stock in Harley-Davidson, the motorcycle company. I mean, you know, I read that. It came out through the Freedom of Information Act. I mean, it's just over the top. I mean, we got a lot of crazy people in a crazy place doing a lot of crazy things. And to think that they could change the state of the world, like the higher interest rate is somehow going to cure the overall inflation or food shortages or supply problems. I mean, you know, the climate turns bad and we have, you can't grow food and now we have fertilizer shortages. So raising interest rates is going to solve the fertilizer shortage and the growing of crops, which is part of the inflation. I mean, they're like a dot on the back of a dog's neck. You know, they can't really do anything. They're going to try and people are going to get scared. So the market's come down a little bit, but is that really going to change, you know, the so-called inflation? I mean, where were they the last, since 2006, 7, 8, you know, for the last 15 years, they're virtually at 0% or near 0%. Europe is, you know, negative. And that's one of the reasons that the war is probably a big risk because the financial crisis is so bad. It seems like, you know, yeah, you know how it is in history. Sometimes we need wars to clean up the deck, so to speak. You know, clean out the debt, get people working, create production. World War II is a classic example of that, particularly when we put an embargo on the Japanese oil products, and that was the incentive for them to bomb Pearl Harbor. And now the same nonsense is going on in Europe. So anyway, the Fed is not the answer to your problem. They're probably creating the problem, and nobody really talks about this. I mean, I'm listening to all the financial broadcasts and they're sitting there with their thumb up their rear end talking about interest rates and the Fed curing a problem, which, it's like saying you've got cancer, but I'm going to put a little a Band-Aid on your thumb and this is going to cure your cancer. I mean, they are so far out of it, so far behind the times, and potentially so destructive. I'm telling you, they need to be abolished. It's just that's the bottom line.
Some people have suggested to me if they thought interest rates would cure inflation. When it first started to be discussed about a year and a half ago, they called it transitory. It's only going to last a short time. But the last time we saw inflation like this, it took, I think, 7 years to bring it under control.
I guess you're right. I don't have that statistic in front of me, but, the bottom line is, what are they going to do but create more damage here? So, again, if Powell's thinking like Volcker, you know, buckle your seatbelts. It could get really bad.
What are you suggesting people can do to kind of protect themselves from inflation or, as we saw today, a market meltdown?
You got to be short the market. I mean, we only think in you know, you can't think in two-dimensional terms. I mean, this is the reason we have shorts in the market. We have inverse ETFs. You can buy, as we have and talked about in our newsletter, you know, inverse ETFs for the S&P, for the NASDAQ, for the Russell, for the mid-cap, for the total stock market index. I believe you can do it for the total stock market index. You just play the market in both directions. It's very simple. Or you just sit in cash. Gold has been a problem in silver because the dollar has been strong, and this time it seems to be hurting it. Sometimes they move together. They don't necessarily move inversely. In this particular short-term cycle, the strength in the dollar has put a big, you know, a big lid on the silver and gold market. Now maybe we'll get a correction in the dollar, and we'll get a nice little move up in silver and gold at some point. But I think that there's a flight to safety in the dollar around the world because of what's happening in Europe and so forth. So it's a tough call whether silver and gold could be a hedge. I mean, on a 5,000-year basis, it's a hedge. I mean, we know over time it never goes to zero, and there's always a store of value in the precious metals. And whether gold goes down to 1,000 before it goes to 10,000, I mean, that's the kind of risk someone's going to have to take in timing the big picture. You know, that could happen. Gold could go to 1,000 and be 5,000 3 years later. So, but it is an a perennial hedge. So I guess in one sense, that could be a protection. But, you know, I think the bottom line is, you know, some people can buy bonds now with 3% interest rate. You know, I'm not saying they won't go higher. Not that I really like government bonds because I don't trust the government bonds, but, they're, I guess, one of the surest things out there. I guess CDs in the bank where you're guaranteed at least your money is going to be there hopefully the next day versus a stock market that could drop 50%. So, those are, and then real estate is still okay. There's still shortages of materials for real estate. The interest rates going up a little bit is not going to, I think, discourage buyers. So I still think there's going to be, more demand. In fact, the fear of higher rates could increase demand, and there's still a shortage of product. So people need a place to live, and the value seems to be holding. And I don't see real estate collapsing like it did back in the financial crisis. It's a different, the rules and the guidelines are more stringent now for borrowers. It's not what it used to be. So, I mean, it's a top market now. I'm not saying the timing is the best to be in real estate, but there might be some areas where it's undervalued. And certainly multifamily housing is good because that's, where you invest in apartment houses where a lot of people who maybe can't afford to buy a house have to rent, and they still seem to be generating good returns for investors. So that's another area to be looking at in a treacherous stock market environment.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, Ukraine and Russia are major suppliers of not only grain, but also the fertilizer needed to grow it. And if they're taken offline, what does that say about the cost of food and the availability for food coming over the next year or two?
It doesn't look too good. It doesn't look too good, Jim. We had talked about this in our interviews over a year ago about potential food shortages. You know, take a look at the agricultural ETFs. There's ones like, ticker symbol corn, and which is virtually right near its highs, wheat, W-E-A-T, not W-H-E-E-T. That was up in trading today, Thursday. The whole group of them. So, and fertilizer stocks themselves. And, this is not even related to geocosmic events. I mean, solar, people laugh at us when we talk about the solar flares or volcanic eruption or earthquakes or polar shift and all of these geocosmic events.
And we already know, it was just last week, I know there was a solar flare and it fried out a lot of shortwave radio equipment. Mm. I think somewhere in Southeast Asia, I read this report that it didn't affect the Western Hemisphere, but there were shortwaves that were blown up, so to speak. So this starts to happen, then the food shortages could get even worse. And it's not a very pleasant scenario once Mother Nature, gets involved, which it has already to a limited degree. So, it's just a lot of stuff out there. And I don't know, food, I can't imagine, this is one of the reasons I think a stock like Costco had done well, because I think people were starting to hoard food and accumulating food. I know a lot of places that I go, I don't know what it is in Canada, but a lot of shelves are not full in the grocery stores that I shop. They're not what they used to be, and certain products you can't get. So I don't want to invoke any panic here, but I think you should be storing some food up just in case things get nasty. Of course, some higher end, wealthier areas probably will experience less than some poor areas around the country. I guess if you can grow your own stuff, that would be great just as a backup. It is a problem. And how does raising interest rates going to stop this? I mean, that's even food inflation going up because of these factors that I just discussed. Powell could sit there all day and raise interest rates all day, but that's not going to kill people wanting to eat.
Well, also, farmers have to borrow money to buy this expensive fertilizer. They might have to borrow money to buy diesel to power their tractors. So higher interest rates certainly wouldn't help solve a food shortage.
That's true. That's a good point. That would absolutely be the case.
How is gold going to hold up here?
That's it. I'm really uncertain about it because it should be a hedge. I mean, it's held up relatively okay. I mean, it's not collapsing or anything, but the strength in the dollar has put a damper on it. And, I keep writing about this in my weekly metals resource letter. I mean, you still have gold being manipulated by the government. I mean, it's called gold suppression, and it's conducted through all kinds of nefarious activities, one of which is hitting bids on the futures market and suppressing prices, even though you don't have the physical gold to back up the delivery, borrowing and leasing of the gold back and forth, all kinds of nonsense, not being truthful about what gold supplies really exist. I know Russia, Putin is has been a big supporter, as China is, by the way, in the gold market. They want to back their currencies for that. So I think overall that's a big plus, going forward. And from what could happen on a trading basis, and again, this is a trading comment, we get a nice correction in the dollar. For some reason, gold could take off here and there could be a trade. So I was sort of expecting to see gold, hold up during this time frame, basically from late March into the fall. And we've had sporadic rallies, but they've given up a lot of their gains. I'm sort of leaning more bullish, but I'm keeping my eye on that dollar. If that continues up, it's going to be headwinds to gold and silver.
Mark, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Yeah, we keep a close eye on what's going on in Europe. Unfortunately, we have some bad players out there. Some bad people who are pushing for military Eisenhower would call that the industrial military complex, but we have senators and Nancy Pelosi from the House of Representatives, Senator Schiff from California. I mean, these are nasty people that were after Donald Trump, that try to create all kinds of problems. They had this anti-Russian mentality all through Trump campaign and before, and they're over there, they're trying to stimulate a war, I mean, honestly, and Putin is he's no bullshitter. I mean, he'll do what he'll need to do, and I'm afraid where all this could go. So let's keep our fingers crossed, because if that happens, you'll see the stock market down 50% easily.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Have a great week. Thank you.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitz, editor and publisher of the Leibovitz VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.